welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Responsorial Psalm. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever I will give you thanks.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that as a matter of equality your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever had much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with them, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "See how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him, and he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaum." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today you are with Dawn, and I have my reluctant guest here. Today it's Judy, a member of our staff at St. Mary's.
Thank you for inviting me back, Dawn. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm so thankful you were willing to be part of this. Brian is in Houston visiting his family, so he ditched us. No, I'm just kidding. We just couldn't work out a convenient time because I believe it is his goddaughter's third birthday, I believe, and so he's there celebrating before he begins his new assignment next Tuesday, the 30th. So we can all wish Brian a happy vacation and preparation for his new assignment. So, well, we have lots of things to talk about in today's readings. There's some familiar stories, some things that we've known. How about you, Judy? Did anything stick out at you, or...
Well, as Dawn introduced me being her reluctant guest, what kind of led me to join you today and join Dawn today was that the psalm that we read, the responsorial psalm, psalm number 30, happens to be my favorite psalm, and I know not all of us have favorite psalms, but this one kind of came into my life at a difficult period, and it was one of those days I was literally just sitting there with the Bible, and I opened it, and it was there. And it sometimes it may appear dark to us, but I think the joy in it is that God gives us dark times, but there's also joyful light periods, and that particularly like when at nightfall weeping enters in, but with the dawn rejoicing, there's always a new day, and there's always tomorrow, and we should always be grateful for that new day and for a new opportunity. And if we approach each trouble that God delivers to us as an opportunity to learn, certainly it will help us along our journey, because we'll look back at some point and realize the value of that darkness, and the light will be even brighter.
Well, and also, you know, it has my name in it. So every time I come in, you know, when Dawn enters, you know, you should be rejoicing. She's here!
As we say every morning when Dawn walks in the door.
I can't say that I say the same thing. I'm here. I often say that my parents misname me because mornings are not my favorite time of day. It's just rough, but... So, you know, one of the things that... I love the story of the women in today's gospel. And a few years ago, I did a college young adult retreat, and we used this story in, I was exposing people to different types of prayer. And so there's a prayer style called imaginative prayer, and it's very simple, and you can do this by yourself. And basically, you choose a scripture passage, a story usually, and you decide, as you begin your prayer, you place yourself in the position of one of the people in the story. And then you just enter deeply into the story and then react to what happens. And so in this case, people normally place themselves in the position of the woman who has been, because she's had this issue with blood, blood would make you ritually unclean. And not only would you be not able to enter the temple, you wouldn't be able to even live within a community because you would be unclean and you would defile other people. So here's this woman who has had to totally remove herself from the community. It's sort of the equivalent of a social death at the time of Jesus. And so anyhow, you enter into this prayer with that mindset. And you just imagine yourself, what would it have been like to actually have Jesus walking by you and feel the power in just touching his garment, and then have Jesus speak to you. And it's just very powerful. If I encourage anybody that might be interested to try out that imaginative prayer style. So,
Dawn, when you mentioned how the woman really... she really shouldn't have even been in the presence of Jesus, is that right, back at that time?
Yes, you're exactly right. Not only was she a woman, but she was ritually unclean. So she probably would have been standing, if it was a normal day, she would have had to been far away. And so it sort of, it reminds me of in the early days of the AIDS crisis, when people were afraid to go anywhere near anyone with AIDS. Obviously, there's different circumstances around both, and I don't mean to say they're the same. But it's just an example of how you had to be totally removed and how awful that would have been. We don't often hear people, women especially, speaking back to Jesus, and so I think that's an interesting concept too. This in this passage also, the woman at the well, and then I think there's only a couple more, but you sort of, especially if you're female, you take you think about what that must have been like at that time.
You think what would draw someone to do something that they know they're, you know, socially forbidden from doing, but they must feel as though they're being drawn to do it for some purpose higher than themselves, or that this is a desperation. You know, this is something I need to do and something I have to do, and to put themselves out there, if you will, and then conversely to have Jesus accept them,
right,
and
yeah,
acknowledge them, and heal them in this case.
It's just amazing. And equally amazing, obviously, is the story that follows it about the teenage daughter that has died. And one of the statistics I was reading is that in the first century, 60% of all live births usually died by their mid-teens. So this was a common occurrence to be happening. And so the fact that Jesus, you know, brings someone back from the dead must have, I can't imagine it, been in that house knowing that this girl was dead and now she's not. And how do you not run out screaming, saying, "Look at what he did!" So, anyhow. And then off, it's great because Jesus says, "Oh, give her something to eat." So we know we're back to regular life. Things are going to continue on. And
well, you know, something just struck me, Dawn. So often, I think in life, we look for those grand miracles and demonstrations of God's power. And maybe Jesus's point is, you don't have to tell anyone. You know, it doesn't have to be grand. Maybe it'll come to other people in their own way.
Mm. I think living, you don't have to go out on a street sign holding up big, go out on a street holding up big signs saying that, but if you live your life as evidence of God working through you, and it, that will bring people to you and say, you know, what causes you to be this way? And that gives you the opportunity to say, you know, well.
So we're the walking billboards?
Ah, nice! We should market that.
There we go.
Fundraising. Can you tell I'm on a fundraising kick lately? Well, with that, I think we'll end our podcast for this week, and we thank you for being with us. Ask you to return next week. Have a good week, and God bless.